तस्मिन् स्थिते निजमाहिनि विदेहमुक्त्याम् अद्वैत्य भाष्यम् उपकल्प दिशो विजीत्याम् काञ्चीपुरे स्थितम् अवापथा शंकराय स्थिति पुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरम् लोकशंकरम् अपार करुणासिन्धुम् ज्ञानतम् शांतरूपिणम् श्रीचन्द्रशेखर गुरुम् प्रणमामि मुदाम्यहम् सदाशिव समारम्भाम् शंकराचार्य मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् विद बेनेडिक्शन फ्रॉम आदि शंकराचार्य एंड टू हिज लीनेज अप टू द परंपरा ऑफ द वेरियस शंकराचार्यस आई रेज टू अड्रेस यू टुडे इट गिव्स मी ग्रेट प्लेजर टू वेलकम यू ऑल टू दिस प्लेजेंट एंड सॉलम फंक्शन ऑर्गेनाइज दिस ईवनिंग टू पे ट्रिब्यूट्स टू द टीचर ऑफ टीचर्स एन आउटस्टैंडिंग फिलोसफर भारत रत्न डॉक्टर सर्वेपल्ली राधाकृष्णन on the joyous occasion of the Teacher's Day, coinciding with his 128th birth anniversary, and to unveil a life statue of Dr. Radhakrishnan in the statue of lawns that adorns this temple of learning. Dr. Radhakrishnan was born in the temple town of Tiruthani in Tamil Nadu on the 5th of September 1888. He postgraduated in philosophy from the Madras University and joined the Presidency College as a lecturer. From there he rose to become the professor of philosophy before he moved on to the Mysore University. From the Mysore University he became the vice chancellor of the Andhra University and ultimately became the vice chancellor of the Benares Hindu University. Between 1949 and 1952, Dr. Radhakrishnan was the Indian ambassador to the then United Soviet bloc, the Soviet Russia. In 1952, he was elected as the first Vice President of the Indian Republic. For two full terms spanning a decade, Radhakrishnan discharged the responsibilities with great distinction and commitment. In recognition of his contribution to the nation, he was elected as the President of the Republic in the year 1962. Bertrand Russell, one of the foremost philosophers that the 20th century had seen, said of Radhakrishnan's elevation as the president, that Pluto had desired that philosophers run and manage kingdoms. It is to the tribute of this ancient land that it has elected one of its foremost philosophers as the president of the republic. Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, speaking about Radhakrishnan, said that he had served the country in various capacities. As a great teacher, we have all learned from him, but India has a very unique and peculiar privilege of having an outstanding teacher, a great philosopher, a statesman par excellence, an administrator, and above all a great humanist to have become the President of the Republic. That itself shows the type of people that this great nation honors, reveres and adores. In 1954, Radhakrishnan was decorated with Bharat Ratna. Dr. Radhakrishnan easily accepted the honors, the accolades that this grateful nation gave to him, and more than that, the enlightened wisdom that came from the civilized society all over. Radhakrishnan's rise to eminence was not on the basis of the exalted offices that he held, but it was those sterling qualities of the head and heart of Radhakrishnan. Education, my dear friends, is not swelling of the mind with putrid facts entombed in cold bricks. Education is enrichment of the mind. It is chastening of the spirit and disciplining of the will. Education is all pervasive. Educational institutions like that of ours are the nurseries and the powerhouse of this nation. It is here that ordinary young childhood is converted into noble and virile manhood, so that when boys and girls come of age, they would know to discharge the responsibility of the nation very effectively. That's what institutions are all known to be. The students who have passed out of the portals of these various institutions at this point of time in history, or a few of them will pass in some more years to come, I think are the most blessed ones. There is everything to cheer for them. There has never been any part of the world at any point of time in history that people were more fed than as of now. Human lifespan has expanded thanks to modern medicine. Infant mortality has come down. Literacy has improved substantially. Illiteracy is on the wane. Democracy has gained the currency the world over. And equally slow, slavery has been abolished. It is under these circumstances that the present generation gets an opportunity of bringing out the potential in them. And today you don't have to exert yourself as much for mere survival. In 1895, it took 1,260 hours to make one bicycle. And today it takes less than 6 hours to make one bicycle. The progress, the development of science and technology and its deep impact on human living did not exist even 50 years before. It was during those times that Dr. Radhakrishnan lived, and he verily proved that the power of the mind and the human brain far exceeds that of the machines and all the creations that come out of the machines. The success of any nation, a democratic nation, hinges essentially on the government of the day. The elected governments, if they exercise with responsibility the suffrage, the mandate that is given to them, nations will thrive. But in the recent past, what comes out very clearly, that citizens of democratic nations are the laziest. And it comes out of the fact that the governments of the day have been doling out freebies to the general public, all because of the lust for power and the greed to hold on to the mandate that has been given. Free televisions, free laptops, free computers, free grinding machines, free bicycles. I don't know how many frees are there. And therefore, teachers are responsible to ensure that enlightened public opinion is created, which puts pressure on the governments of the day not to fritter away the meager resources of the state and use the resources of the state effectively for the essentialities of man, roti, kapda and makan. We need a greater allocation of governmental funds, which is after all taxpayers' money, for education and healthcare. We hardly spend 6% of the GDP on education. This is measly for a nation which is on the rise, a nation which is on the march, which claims to be amongst the developed nations of the world, and which says by 2020 it will join the Committee of Developed Nations of the World. And certainly with this background, it can never reach those pinnacles in life. It is therefore necessary that pressure is put on governments to ensure that there is a greater allocation of money for education as well for healthcare. We spend 0.7% of the GDP on higher education. Can a nation ever thrive to take advantage of the progress of science and technology when it has only 0.7% of the GDP going in for higher education? Of the students who are eligible to go into collegiate education, only 7% of this entire country go into higher education. Certainly these are not signals for a shining country. Even in the immediate term, the short term, if you were to increase this percentage to, I don't call it even respectable, say double, say 15% of the population eligible for higher education, getting into higher education, you will need 1500 more universities yesterday. We have to harness science and technology to a greater extent that we have been harnessing it today. Not only that, we should use science and technology to provide equity. We should use science and technology to bring down the cost of education so that it is accessible, available, and we widen the access for vulnerable sections of the society, and the entire population gets a reasonable opportunity to pursue education beyond elementary education. There are essentially two pillars to any nation, the social pillar and the economic pillar. The social pillar comprises of education, healthcare and the status of women. If ever we were to scan the profile of our nation itself and look to what our education is, what comes out is that the standards of education that we provide are extremely low. The graduates who come out of our institutions are not employable. There is not even a single university in this country which comes within the 250 universities in the world. Not even one comes within the universities in the world. There is immediate and urgent need for the governments of the day to increase their investment in human potential. And human potential is harnessed better only through the process of education. There are vast changes that are taking place in the skyline of education. Boundaries have broken down. Even the East Berlin Wall took more time to break down, and it required human efforts to bring it down. But educational boundaries have vanished in no time. Language is no longer a barrier. The world's best education is available to you at the touch of a mouse on your fingertips at a cost which is a fraction of the cost that we incur for learning. In a borderless educational system that we are in, it becomes extremely necessary that we are able to understand the nuances of education that is unfolding. Can we deliver education in the same manner that we delivered 20 years before or 2 decades before? Can we ever think of the written notes which are part of the arsenal in the armory of a teacher that she uses to convey the pedagogy for delivering education? Can that be relevant today when the entire net is full of notes? While the world will certainly come to the conclusion one day that education without the physical presence of a teacher is no education, the Gurukula system of education had the teacher and the taught together in the process of learning. The education that we are seeing today and the one that will unfold in the days ahead, there will be neither the teacher seen nor the student seen. In such an environment, the only answer for a teacher, if he or she wants to be still involved in the process of this noble activity, that he or she has to change. Change is the order of the day as far as the teacher is concerned. Change you must, or you perish from the profession that you are in. You should be useful to the teaching student community much beyond the teaching aids that are at the command of the students. Classrooms, as we are seeing in brick, mortar and clay, in the decade ahead and the decade further ahead, will also be demolished. Even today in the classrooms in higher learning, education is delivered through the net, through the tablets and the laptops which are at the lap of the students, through which the process of learning is taking place. There is yet another reason why I am certain that this paperless education will become the current order of education. That is because of environmental concerns. Papyrus, which is used for making paper, the wood and the reeds and the bamboo that come from the forest, they have been mercilessly destroyed. Ecological imbalances have been created all across the world. World over, administrators have realized that education cannot consume so much of destruction to the ecology. And therefore, what will come certainly is an electronic transmission, paperless education system. Prepare, you must, for that order of the day, if you think it is possible, to deliver it for the benefit of the students. It is not that overnight classes are going to go away. In a world which is dominated by disparity, where there is a very wide gap between the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, between developed, developing and underdeveloped nations, you can be certain that for many more years to come, underdeveloped nations, developing nations, will continue to thrive in the classrooms which are made up of brick, mortar and clay. Science and technology have essentially progressed over the last 3 decades in 4 principal areas. Analog to digital, which is called as digitalization. Physical to virtual, which is called as virtualization. Fixed to mobile, which is mobility. And mass to individual, which is personality. Unless a teacher is acquainted with the technologies which are associated with digitalization, virtualization, mobility and personality, he or she is doomed as far as the profession of teaching is concerned. It's where a teacher can be current if she gets to know the basics of all these technologies to move the entire thing forward. If we believe that the destiny of a nation is created in the classrooms, then it is the teacher who is the architect. The architects of the nation are lying in classrooms today and tomorrow elsewhere, unseen. There is therefore a greater responsibility on the shoulders of the teachers to ensure that they not just teach the children, they instruct them, they motivate them, they enthuse them, they goad them, they control them, they love them, and if required, die for them. It is like the seed. A teacher is like the seed. embedded deep inside the soil, far away from sunlight, for only one reason, so that the leaves will sprout, the flowers will blossom. Tall, huge trees, majestic as they are, will come up, bearing luscious fruits. A teacher is like that. She would not know the dividends of her action, but certainly the society gains from all that is being done. As I come to the end of my address today, on behalf of the vast majority of 1.25 crore billion population of this country, I offer the greetings and felicitations of the nation to this community called the teaching community, which are the builders of modern India. Come, let us join together. And as we join together, let us rediscover ourselves. Let a teacher wear a new gown that the contemporary needs of time requires. Let us reinvent ourselves if it is required. And once we do that, then possibly we are in line to take this nation forward amongst the Committee of Nations as a developed nation where education is given primacy. May the good Lord shed His grace on all of you so that you all are partners in this journey that takes this nation forward in the years ahead. Statues and busts, we might put here symbolically, are required for little young men who are in piteous dread of losing their counterfeit celebrity. But they alone live who live in the hearts and minds of people. For even if they move away from the physical plane, they become deathless institutions from ordinary mortals. They become the wharf and woof of the thoughts and action of the succeeding generation. They carve for themselves a niche in the rocky temple of reverential gratitude. To that caliber, to that class, to that group of people belongs Dr. Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan. May Dr. Radhakrishnan's benediction and grace be ever be on all the teachers, so that, like his contribution to the nation as an individual, as a teacher, as an administrator, each teacher will become a mini Radhakrishnan as we take the nation forward. Today is a great day. It is just not Teacher's Day. It's also Dr. Radhakrishnan's 128th birth anniversary. This is also the birthday of the teacher of teachers, Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. That if Radhakrishnan was teacher of teachers, then the Guru of Guru also had his birthday today. Kapalotiya Tamilan was 144 years today. Today is the International Day for Charity, the day for giving. And that's what Radhakrishnan gave to this nation, gave all that he had, not money, but all that intellect, all that philosophy that he had. Singularly, he was the only person, if Vashishta of the older years, Vidyaranya of the epic glory, seers and savants had exerted great moral influence on the rulers of the land and taken lands from turbulent times to shores of safety. But in a democratic era, if there is one single person in the entire world who had combined politics with philosophy and taken the nation forward, it is Dr. Radhakrishnan. Let us pay our humble tributes to him. Let us remember him not only on 5th of September. Let us continue to remember him as this nation progresses. Thank you. God bless you all.